The author of My Cash-Based Practice is with us on this episode of PT Talker. He will be talking about what you should do in order to receive non-physician referrals. I think you'll find it interesting, and I hope you'll stay tuned for the next episode of PT Talker. We'll be right back.
This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
On the line with us today, Dr. Jared Carter. He is the owner of Carter Physiotherapy in Austin, Texas. He's owned that practice, that cash-based practice, for 3 years. Want to welcome you back. You're also a previous expert on PT Talker. Thanks for coming back, Dr. Carter.
And thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, let's first of all get our listeners caught up. How's the book going? I think when we last spoke to you probably a year and a half ago, you had just come out with your new book, My Cash-Based Practice, and I know it has a long subtitle. I'll let you give that, but how's it going?
It's going great. The audience for the book and for the blog just grows all the time. I think as people in our field, especially those interested in business or currently in private practice, they kind of see the trends and the writing on the wall with reimbursements. They're really the attention and the focus on the cash-based or out-of-network business model just gets bigger and bigger. And so the book has been really well received and getting a lot of great feedback and looking to probably update it at some point in the next year or two and create some other informational type products to really help those interested in the cash-based business model get their practice to the next level within that realm.
Sure. Now, give everybody the full title.
Oh, gosh.
I caught you today. Okay.
I don't have it in front of me, but it's something, My Cash-Based Practice, essential knowledge for creating a private pay physical therapy practice, something like
okay,
that.
Okay, you did great. That sounds exactly right to me. Now tell our listeners, how would they find that, and then we'll get on to the meat of our topic today.
Okay. Well, you can find that as well as a lot of free information at drjaredcarter.com. So it's D-R, not spelled out doctor, but D-R-J-A-R-O-D, carter.com. It's very easy to find the link to the book on that site, as well as a lot of other information.
Great. Okay. Well, good luck to you and actually thank you for all the wealth of information that you're providing to the profession. It's great. So the reason I reached out to you today and why we wanted to bring you on the show this week was because you're really pushing a concept that I don't know, maybe some are thinking about. If they aren't thinking about it, they probably should. But what is this business about? Why should a physical therapist out there care about non-physician referrals?
Right. So I first just want to say that in no way am I downplaying the necessity and importance of the physician-therapist relationship and the collaboration that should occur there. That's not what this is about. What this is about is protecting the flow of business into our PT practices and making sure we're, diversified, so to speak, in how we receive that business, so that if we have one type of referral source that drops off or goes away completely, our business isn't crippled. And so the reason it's become more and more of a topic, and I've been talking about it recently, is because the reason I'm talking about it and have the means to talk about it is that even though I'm in Texas, where we do not have direct access to treatment, so anyone that needs anyone that gets physical therapy has to have a referral to start treatment, right? Mm-hmm. So all my patients still have to get a referral, but over 90% of my patients come from non-physician referral sources. They'll call and, if they don't already have a physician referral, then I have to explain how they go about getting one. But most of them come, they don't come directly from a physician saying, hey, go see Jared or you know, go see someone at Carter Physiotherapy. So, but there's obviously the trend that's been going on for quite a while of physicians owning their own PT practice. That's nothing new.
Right.
It's been highly damaging to a lot of practices out there. It continues to be a huge issue. But what we're also seeing now is kind of a new monster in the form of hospitals and corporations buying physician practices in a variety of different areas of medicine. And what we're seeing is that, you know, most of those corporations, and usually it's a hospital system, they, of course, have their own rehab and PT practices, even, you know, outpatient clinics as well as inpatient. And once they buy up these physician practices, you know, the next instruction when it comes to PT is generally, okay, we have our own PT rehab center. You need to start diverting and referring all of your PT patients to, you know, within the system, keep them within the system. And so I've been hearing from a number of people that communicate with me or email me questions that they've, you know, it's not that an orthopedic group stopped sending them patients because they started their own PT practice. It's that, you know, the cardiologist or whoever, what other practice that they thought they could rely on, just decided to sell to a hospital, and now they're not getting any patients from them. And so it can be really damaging if you have a high reliance on a practice that's bought up, or, of course, an orthopedic practice that doesn't already have their own PT clinic and decide to start one.
Right. So one of those, you know, factors out there in the real world that's starting to rear its ugly head and totally out of the control of the physical therapist who's doing a great job is just the new model, the new business model out there where hospitals are trying to, you know, 5-10 years ago they were buying up physicians, and that trend is probably being accelerated as ACOs come into play, and they're trying to protect their turf as well.
Exactly. So what we're, you know, this is a whole kind of other topic, but what we're going to be seeing, and this is really not specific to healthcare business, but business in general, is that you know, those who have the strongest negotiation abilities are going to have the best ability to stay profitable, mm-hmm. and the smaller businesses or practices are going to struggle more. And so it's the hospitals and large corporations that are going to be able to negotiate the best reimbursement rates as they continue to kind of drop across the board. I don't think there's any arguing against the fact that reimbursement rates are dropping and that Medicare is extremely strained, and we're seeing drops there also with Medicaid in those states. And so just across the board and over time, with these drops that are occurring now and the ones that are certainly on the way, it's going to be those that have the most negotiating power, i.e. the most business for an insurance company. They're going to be able to negotiate higher rates and stay in business. And it's the little guys like myself and so many of my colleagues that have small private practices. And it's like, you know, what do you do then? And that's where the cash-based model is so nice, because you don't have to worry about that. But it also comes into this topic now of where we get our referrals and how we can diversify them.
So you're having to work a little bit harder now and be a little bit more creative. But let's give our listeners kind of an idea. What are you talking about? Who else can they receive a referral from if it's not a physician?
Well, of course, you know, depending on direct access laws in your state, if they got to have a referral, they have to have a referral to see you. But what I'm saying is, you know, where that person hears, hey, go see XYZ therapist, they'll help you out. It's that initial referral that I'm talking about. And that can come from, you know, really any source. And there's a number of different ways that I see it happen, and I try to make it happen in my clinic. One of them, and probably the main one, really is your own patients. So word of mouth from your own patients and really trying to spur that on and doing the right things both during your treatment sessions with the patient as well as afterwards in terms of, you know, getting online reviews, keeping in touch with them via email newsletters, giving them a call. You know, I try to call or email personally all my patients within about 2 to 3 months after their discharge just to check in on them. And It's things like that that get people talking and keep them talking. Encouraging them to like your Facebook and Twitter and follow you in these different realms, where if you're regularly updating those pages or, you know, posting good, helpful, quality content, you know, about physical therapy, about wellness, about, you know, just general health topics, nutrition, things like that, staying in front of them via social media, via email, all these kinds of things are ways that you can bolster, you know, the word of mouth, you know, but from one patient to a new prospective patient, and you know, kind of have that as one of your main non-referral, non-physician referral sources. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely, word of mouth is my biggest referral source by far, and there are a number of others as well.
Okay, and I'll bet there are a lot of our listeners who are not thinking that word of mouth would be a referral source. It seems almost obvious, but probably not intuitive to a lot of physical therapists. So you're really talking about marketing here. Would that be a fair statement?
Absolutely. I mean, everything is marketing, essentially. Yeah. From the way you interact with your patients, the results you get, you know, for them. But really that, you know, the interaction is very important, not waiting till the last visit to say, well, I hope that you had a good experience here, and, you know, tell your friends and family. But, you know, when I have a lot of athletes that come through, and, you know, I'm always asking about the team, how's everyone doing, you know, are there any other injuries? Oh, really? Okay, well, why don't you give them this business card next time, you know, next practice? Or, why don't you put me in touch with your coach so I can come out and do an injury prevention clinic? It sounds like you guys are falling apart. Let's keep this from happening, you know, next season. You know, stuff like that, talking to the parents of those athletes in the same way, you know, and with non-athletes, of course, you know, you can also spur on word of mouth with just getting them talking about their friends or family, you know, what kind of activities people are into. You can kind of guide the conversation to bring up, you know, potential issues that people might have. And, you know, so you're just constantly kind of working to bring up the topic of others who might need your services. And then, you know, doing it in a tactful way, of course. You don't want to seem like the pushy salesman. It's not like it's the right focus of every conversation in each session that I have with every patient, but it definitely comes up in a natural way, and it works. You really can spur on, when you get people to think about others in their life that might need your services, they will talk to them. But if you don't actively get them to think in that way, you know, and encourage that, they often won't, and then you've missed out on prospective business.
Right. I think so often we're afraid to do that. It seems like it might come across wrong, but it's the way of the world these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can do it naturally and mm-hmm. work at it, and you know, again, it doesn't have to be in every session or anything like that. But what I'm saying is just not to wait till the very last session to say, hey, tell your friends. You know, there are better ways to go about it, and you don't have to seem like a sleazy salesman type.
Yeah. Well, very good. So, Dr. Carter, we've only just got a couple of, just really a minute left. Any other tips that you want to give our listeners on how to go after those non-physician referrals?
Yes, aside from word of mouth with your patients, getting out into the community and really networking, going and meeting with other business owners, doing Chamber of Commerce events, have been really, really important for the growth of my business. And then especially targeting those in the health and wellness and fitness realm. So especially personal trainers, you know, yoga teachers, Pilates instructors, getting in with them and developing relationships there has been probably my second biggest, outside of patient-to-patient word of mouth, my second biggest non-physician referral source. So a great way to get in with personal trainers and people in the fitness realm is to offer them, you know, kind of free end services and give them good information that'll help them be of value to their clients, and keeping in mind that, you know, clients that are going to yoga, Pilates, personal training, they're paying cash, you know, out of pocket. Yeah. You know, for those services that we already know that they're kind of in our realm of the target markets.
So, yeah.
So definitely targeting those areas and offering good information, being a good connector of business, you know, between business owners, all that kind of stuff has really been huge for my business, mm-hmm. getting these non-physician referrals.
Well, congratulations. You're doing great. And are you optimistic about the future of your practice?
I'm very optimistic about the future of my practice.
Good.
Those that are completely dependent on a few physician referral sources and completely reliant on Medicare and insurance,
not so sure.
I think they're gonna have to make some changes if they can have a really rough future. Yeah.
Well, that's another reason they need to be listening to PT Talkers, so they will be ahead of the curve and learn all this stuff. Dr. Jared Carter, owner of Carter Physiotherapy in Austin, Texas, thank you for joining us again. And I do want to plug your book, My Cash-Based Practice. Give that website one more time.
Yes, it's drjaredcarter.com, so D-R-J-A-R-O-D, carter.com.
A visit you will want to take the time to make. So, Dr. Carter, again, thank you for joining us and being our expert this week.
I appreciate you for having me. Thanks so much.
And I also want to give a big shout-out to the state of Indiana, who just got their Governor Mike Pence, to sign the direct access law that went into effect at the beginning of May. So congratulations to Indiana, all those Hoosiers out there that now have the long sought after. I know Pauline Flesch, one of the primary advocates, and has worked at least 20 years on getting that through. Had you heard about that, Dr. Carter?
Absolutely. Yeah. I posted that on Twitter, and I'm so proud of those guys. We're in the middle of a session here in Texas doing the same thing, and we just had our hearing, and we just made a step we've never made before, which was to get it voted favorably out of the Public Health Committee on the House side. Many steps have to occur before it would become law, but we've never had that before, so that was a step forward this session, and we'll see how far it can get in the next month.
All right, very good. Okay, well, if you're listening to us on your treadmill or just driving to work or wherever, I hope you enjoyed this episode of PT Talker. We will continue to bring them to you each and every week. This is Jeff Worrell saying thanks for listening.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.